You're listening to the SG Show. Sam and Steve are on the air.
Today on the SG Show, we'll talk about some books I read this week and a movie I just saw. Great movie. My dad and dog are both fine and healthy, and we got a new quiz for you guys. All that and more on the SG Show. Hello and welcome to the SG Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Steve. Each week we talk about books, movies, fun things for families to do together, and, well, life, really.
You can find out more about us and check out our past shows on our website,
which is sgshow.blogspot.com, or they can call us long distance and leave us a voicemail, which we can play on our show. And that number is 206-337-2677.
Or email us at steveandsam@gmail.com. And we love to receive your email. Thank you so much for all your nice words. Here's a good email we received after our Halloween show. Arrgh, Steve and Sam. I love your show. Sam, your pirate costume sounds like it'll give even the bravest kids the davies, and it sounds like your duffel is full of just about all you'll need. If you ask me, every modern pirate should be equipped with a skateboard. I hope you and your fellow peckeroons get a ton of booty this Halloween. From one pirate to another, dar! Captain Jake.
And here's another one. This letter is dictated to his mom by 5.5-year-old Kyle from New Cumberland, Pennsylvania, which is outside of Harrisburg. It says, "Dear Sam, I like your show, and I always make my dad listen to it in the car, even when I've already heard it before. I like your show because it makes me smart." Oh, that's nice. "I have a quiz question for you. Is the moon really made of cheese? Also, my dad has a friend that lives in Denmark, so people really do live there, Kyle." I should tell Kyle and his folks that if you go to moon.google.com and you zoom in to the closest magnification, you'll be able to see for sure what the moon is made out of. Oh, and one other thing before I forget. Next show, if you can believe it, is show number 20. And we'd like to hear from as many of our listeners as we can. So if you can, drop us a note at stevensam@gmail.com. Or better yet, give us a call at 206-33-SAM-77, and we can play your comments on the show.
And I think, Dad, maybe next week, if people send us a greeting or something with their name attached to it, I think that we might just do another yell out, like say the names of people we know are listening.
What did you call it? A yell out?
Yes. I think that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
But first, we'll give you the quiz questions.
Good idea. What did you come up with this week?
Question number one. This one was from Mom. What is an entomologist? And how is it different from an etymologist? Question two. What are the events in the Summer Olympics?
Good question.
And question number three. Who is Galileo?
Good questions once again. So last week was our Halloween show. And we talked about the fact that you were going to be a pirate. You were a very successful pirate. You made a beautiful-looking pirate's chest that you were supposed to carry around to capture all your...
It wasn't so successful.
What happened?
It got too much to carry. It was too much to carry because I had to carry a sword, I had to walk in cowboy boots. It was really hard. And then I had to walk around. I couldn't even hold out my sword. I had to walk around and keep on opening the chest, closing the chest, opening the chest, closing it.
It was a pretty big chest.
And so my mom is going to use it next year for giving out candy.
So what did you discover as the best receptacle to go around collecting candy?
A pillowcase.
Your friend Devin had one of those.
Mm-hmm.
What was Devin dressed as?
The Grim Reaper in red with a hood, so with this black thing on, so you couldn't see his face.
That was a pretty cool costume. And I, once again, was Albus Dumbledore.
Only once this time someone called him Santa Claus.
It was a blue costume. I think it was the white beard and the white hair and the half-moon spectacles that led people to think that I was Santa Claus. So you look like you collected quite a bit of candy in your trick-or-treating. What was your favorite type of candy?
My favorite type of candy that I got had to be dots.
What are dots?
They're these little half-oval colored shapes, like green or red or yellow, some other colors. And they're like gummies.
They kind of taste like gummy bears? Kind of chewy?
They're sweet. To mention Devin, it was just his birthday, as well as my father. They share a birthday. They're birthday buddies.
Devin got some cool toys for his birthday. My favorite one that I saw when we went to his house for his birthday
was a truck that climbed up a wall.
Now, this is a loud toy, and I haven't even looked on the web for how this thing works, but apparently you put this remote control truck on your wall, and it will climb up your wall, a regular smooth wall. You have any idea how that worked?
There was probably on those wheels or that thing that covered the wheels, some type of chemical that made it stick to what it went on.
And the chemical didn't ruin the paint on the walls?
No.
Hmm. So what would you say? Was this a good Halloween? I know this is one of your favorite holidays.
Yeah. I just don't like having too much candy.
You don't like having too much candy?
Yes.
You know this is being recorded.
I know.
You know everybody on the internet is going to be able to hear this.
I know.
And you're sure you want everybody to hear what you just said?
No.
I may have to package this up and send this to your dentist.
My dentist has the funniest name.
For a dentist?
He has an appropriate name. Dr. Charles M. Spitz.
Dr. Spitz, the dentist. I guess now that we're into the fall, we're sort of in the start of the holiday season, and a movie just came out.
It's called Chicken Little.
And it was rated G, which is great for parents to find a G-rated movie, especially one that they'd like to see.
It's a very funny movie. What is your favorite character in it, Dad?
Well, so there were all the classic characters from the Chicken Little story, and in case you don't know the story of Chicken Little, it's
when Chicken Little, when an acorn pops on his head, boop, he goes over to someone's house and says, "Goosey Lucy, Goosey Lucy, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. We must tell the president. Foxy Loxy, Foxy Loxy, we must tell the president. The sky is falling."
The characters were terrific.
My favorite had to be the alien called Kirby, the baby orange three-eyed alien named Kirby.
Who would you recommend this movie for?
Everyone except people who think that the sky is really going to fall.
You've been reading a couple books, too, this week.
Yep. I just finished The Secret of the Old Mill.
And what did you think of the book?
If you didn't know what the Hardy Boys' father was, then you think it was amazing how good detectives they are. Seeing as their father is very famous because he is the famous Fenton Hardy, the detective, it shows you that he's really teaches his sons to be like him.
You think that's a good thing for dads to teach sons to be like them?
Not really to be like them, but just to help them learn what's right and wrong. That's the same with Fenton Hardy and Joe and Frank. And that's the same with Chicken Little and Buck Cluck, his dad. That's the same with you and me. Another book I've read is A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Which book was this that you were reading?
It was number 9, The Carnivorous Carnival.
What do you think?
Violent, like the rest of the books.
So not for really little kids to read?
No.
Not even with their parents?
No. You haven't read these books. You don't know how Lemony Snicket can make the books.
So if you had the chance to ask Lemony Snicket 3 questions, what would you ask him?
1, why does he always dedicate his books to some dead person named Benatrice or something? 2, why he made it a series of unfortunate events? And 3, why he named each character witch. Like, why he named Count Olaf, and why did he name Violet, and why did he name Klaus, and Sunny.
I often wonder that about character names in books that I read, why authors choose the names they do. Well, maybe we'll get a chance to ask him those questions one day. Okay, before we wrap up today, let's answer the quiz questions. What's 1?
What is an entomologist, and how is it different from an etymologist?
Well, even though these words sound the same, they refer to quite different things. An entomologist, which is spelled E-N-T-O-M-O-L-I-G-I-S-T, is a zoologist who studies insects. So an entomologist is somebody who studies insects. And an etymologist is spelled E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-I-S-T, is a linguist, that's somebody who studies languages, who focuses primarily on the origins of words. So if you were somebody who was doing research on how the word etymology became a word, you would be an etymologist. But if you were doing research on the bug that is sitting outside on our front porch, you might be an entomologist.
I see. Okay, question 2 is, what are the events in the Summer Olympics?
I looked this up, and there are a number of events in each sport. And the number of sports in each Olympic Games changes from time to time. But here are all the sports that the athletes competed in 2004 in the Summer Olympics. Would you like to read them?
Yes.
Okay.
There was archery, athletics, track and field, badminton, baseball, basketball, boxing, canoeing, cycling, diving, equestrian, fencing, using swords, football, soccer, gymnastics, handball. What's handball?
Handball is like playing racquetball, but without a racket.
Hockey, judo, that's kind of like boxing, right? Modern pentathlon, rowing, sailing, shooting. Like with a gun?
Shooting at targets.
Oh.
Not like hunting or shooting.
Oh. softball, swimming, synchronized swimming, table tennis, taekwondo, tennis, triathlon. That's like where you compete in three things.
Mm-hmm.
You had to swim, you had to run, and you had to go on a bike. Volleyball, water polo, what's that?
Water polo is kind of like playing soccer, but in a swimming pool.
Oh,
okay. Instead of kicking the ball, you swim with it between your arms.
Weightlifting and wrestling. And the last question, who is Galileo?
You always come up with some good science questions, Sam. All right, here's a short biography I came up. You know what a biography is?
Something that tells a lot about someone.
Someone's life story.
Yeah.
Galileo Galilei was born on February 15th, 1564, in Pisa, Italy. You know what else is in Pisa, Italy?
The Leaning Tower.
Mm-hmm. Galileo pioneered the experimental scientific method and was the first to use a refracting telescope to make important astronomical discoveries. In 1609... Galileo learned of the invention of the telescope in Holland, and from the barest description, he constructed a vastly superior model, the refracting telescope. As a professor of astronomy at the University of Pisa, Galileo was required to teach the accepted theory of the time that the sun and all the planets revolved around the Earth. At the University of Padua, he was exposed to a new theory proposed by Nicholas Copernicus that the Earth and all the other planets revolved around the Sun. Galileo's observations with his new telescope convinced him of the truth of Copernicus's sun-centered or heliocentric theory. So the heliocentric theory is the theory that the Earth and all the planets revolve around the Sun. And of course, today we know that that is
true.
That is true. But at the time, Galileo's support for the heliocentric theory got him into trouble with the Roman Catholic Church, and in 1633, the Inquisition convicted him of heresy, basically teaching against what the church said was okay, and they forced him.
So he couldn't teach what his theories were?
Exactly. He had to publicly withdraw his support of Copernicus.
He had to do what the church thought?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the church doesn't know anything.
Well, not at the time. They sentenced him to life imprisonment, but because he was so old, they allowed him to serve his term at his villa outside Florence, Italy. Galileo's originality as a scientist lay in his method of inquiry, in other words, how he conducted science. First, he reduced problems to a simple set of terms on the basis of everyday experience and common sense logic. Then he analyzed and resolved them according to simple mathematical descriptions. The success with which he applied this technique to the analysis of motion opened the way for modern mathematical and experimental physics. Isaac Newton used one of Galileo's mathematical descriptions, the law of inertia, as the foundation for his first law of motion. Galileo died in 1642, the same year that Sir Isaac Newton was born.
Do you know what Galileo's dying words were?
No.
But it does move.
What does that mean?
It probably means that the Earth does move. He knew that the Earth somehow went around something. That was the sun. That's all we have this week. If you want to get in touch with us, you can leave a voicemail at 206-3333-7267. And you can send us an email at steveandsam@gmail.com. And you can check out our website at sgshow.blogspot.com. Bye for now.
Have a good week, everybody.
Bye.
Well, old Penn's place is empty now. I guess he's long gone to his rewards. But I can still recall the songs he sang. Heck, I even know most of his chords. So while I sit here on this roadside on the way to where I choose, I got his memories in my traveling bags. I got miles and miles on my shoes. I got his memories in my traveling bags and miles on my shoes.
shoes. For more information on the things you heard about today, visit the SG Show website at sgshow.blogspot.com.